we can't wrap our mind around it. It's millions and billions and billions of years. And to think, if you die lost and go to hell, and you burn in that torment for billions and billions and billions of years, you can never, never get relief. Nothing that this world has to offer, not one thing, will be worth that. Nothing. Not one thing.
My Father, we need you. Lord, we need you right now. We need you right now. We need you right now to help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's all.
I won't be lengthy tonight. I'd like to preach just quickly out of 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. And the Bible said that he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah?" One more time, could you stretch your hands towards heaven and ask the Lord to help me? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, God. If the Lord would help me just a little while tonight, I would like to preach on casualties at the cave. Casualties at the cave. It's a very difficult situation to explain, and I'm not going to be real loud tonight, but it's a very difficult situation to explain what's going on in this text. Now, first of all, at this particular time, when the Lord asks Elijah, "What doest thou here?" At this point, I do not feel that it is a place of rebuke just yet. Now, later on in this text, we'll read where it is. But right now, I believe that the Lord is talking to Elijah to get him to come to himself and realize what's going on in his life. Sometimes that is very, very difficult to do, is to get people to realize where they're at. Now, just to give you a little history with this, I think that we need to understand that Elijah was a man highly anointed of God. Highly anointed. As a matter of fact, probably if you'll read in the Old Testament at all, and even in the New Testament, Elijah is an individual that is revered or reverenced. They thought highly of him, very highly of him. And Elijah, you've got to understand, he had, just to go back just a little while, God had spoke to him and told him to cry out against the sins of the nation of Israel. Told him to cry out against the sins of the nation of Israel, and Elijah prayed the prayer, and God shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, Elijah was a fugitive in his own nation. For 3.5 years, this man of God was in a battle for righteousness and purity and holiness. He was standing for what was right. He was standing for what was true. He wanted a separation. He wanted the folks to understand that you cannot live on the edge. You cannot serve two masters. You're going to love the one and you're going to hate the other. That's just the way that it is. The Bible bears that out. Now I want you to notice here just for a moment that this man of God stood firm. He stood firm. He prayed and God cut off the water. 3.5 years, no rain. 3.5 years of drought. By this time, things are looking pretty bad around there. Things are not favorable to look at. And of course, Ahab is king at this time, and he's blaming Elijah. That Elijah was the enemy of Israel. Because he was not willing to take his own consideration of what he was doing and realize that he was the one destroying Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you just a little bit. I want to get to where I'm going. Now, he goes and he reveals himself unto Ahab. And Ahab accuses him, of course, of being the one that troubleth Israel. And Elijah just stood firm against the king of that nation and said, "No, I'm not. You're the ones that's troubling Israel. Ahab, you're the man that's causing the problem. You're where all of this lies at." Now, I want you to notice right here, he's not backing down. He's not cowering down. He's not running and hiding from Ahab. He's standing out in the midst looking at him, and Ahab is looking at him. Now, Elijah is not afraid. Amen. I said, Elijah is not afraid. And right away he issues the challenge and he said, "I tell you what, if your God be God, then let's serve Baal. If Baal be God, let's serve Baal. But if God Jehovah's God, then let's serve him. But let's don't halt between two opinions anymore. Let's get this thing fixed tonight and understand who we're going to serve and understand what we're doing." So then I can imagine that Ahab really felt like that surely there's just one of him and there's 450 prophets of Baal that surely the prophets of Baal would be able to outdo one man. So he agreed to the challenge. He agreed to the challenge, and right away, he let them go first in the morning sacrifice. And they got their sacrifice out, but they couldn't bring no fire. And the God that answered by fire would be the true God. And they called on their God, and they called on their God, and they cut their shells, and they jumped up and down, and they had no answer at all. We all know that story, don't we? We all know that story. And then Elijah Elijah simply got up, that man of God that had talked to God before. Now I want you to notice, I'm going back to that cave in just a minute, but here's that man of God that had such a real experience with God, that all it took him was a 63 word prayer, and all at once fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and lamped up all the water. And that's a different sermon for a different time. And then amen, he tells Ahab later on, get down, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Help me preach to you just a little while tonight. There's that man of God, amen, that God's just gave him a great victory over the prophets of Baal. God's getting ready to pour water down upon that great nation again. God's gave him great victory. But then something happens. Great people have difficult times. Good folks go through the battle. And Jezebel made a threat to him. And she says to him, I'm going to kill you, just to make it short and paraphrase it. I'm going to make sure you're going to be dead real soon. And Elijah fled for his life. Now he just looked the king in the face. He had just stood up against 450 prophets of Baal. God had just answered him by fire. Amen. This man of God had power of God. This wasn't no weakling. And he ran for his life. Don't we? We've read that story, haven't you? He ran for his life. But when he got to that cave, he went inside. And he buried himself in that cave. And then the Lord comes by. The Lord comes by and the Lord says to him, Elijah, why are you here? Why are you here? This ain't where you're supposed to be. I didn't tell you to go here. What are you doing here for? Why are you in this place that you're at right now? And I'm here to ask somebody tonight, why are you where you're at right now? What is motivating you to be in that position that you're in right now? I dare say, and I'm talking to somebody, and I'm going back to what I talked about earlier. God didn't tell you to go. Amen. God didn't tell you to do it. God didn't say nothing about it. But you chose on your own to go ahead and get yourself in that place. And really, you don't need to be there at all. I'm talking to somebody that's out of place. Stay with me just a little while. Stay with me just a little while. I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to hurry. Now, not every time do you have to be a terrible, lukewarm person to miss it. Help me preach to you just a little bit. You don't have to be a terrible person to miss it. I remember one time, Brother Robbie, I had suffered some pretty traumatic things in my ministry, and I was struggling. I was struggling. I really was. And we were battling, and I had a great opportunity present itself. A great opportunity for an occupation to present itself. And my father-in-law had made a living at this occupation for years and years, and he said, I can get you on. I can get you on. So that's what I did. That's what I did. I went. I filled out all the paperwork. Sure enough, I got that job. I got that job. At that time, you know, it was a different day years and years ago. And $20-something an hour was. I mean, that was good money. I mean, that was good money, good money. And I was going to be making $20-something an hour. And I'd never made $20-something an hour. I never even got close to that, amen. And not even close to that. And I remember, I thought, I've got it made now. I'm going to have retirement. I'm going to have insurance. I tried the ministry. I gave my heart to evangelizing. I gave my heart to pastoring. I got hurt. Now I'm going to take care of myself. Help me just a little while. I'm going to take care of myself. Now, I was pretty good at what I was doing. I'd do it right now. I just do it in a different kind of vehicle. It don't bother me to drive large vehicles. I can drive large vehicles. It don't bother me at all. It's just sort of natural to me. You know what I mean? So I could do it with no problem at all. I'd drive that bus and right there pick people up and smile at them, let them off. I mean, I was doing good. I was doing great. God hadn't spoke to me at all yet about it. God hadn't talked to me at all about it. He hadn't spoke to me at all about being where I was at. But I'll just go to Dryden Road. I'll make Brother Sutherland a great member. I'll pay him tithes. He's going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. Everybody's going to be happy. My wife's going to be happy. We're going to buy a new house. We're going to get a car. We're going to do everything we're wanting to do. I ain't going to have to travel the country no more. No more sweaty nights. No more all of those things I'm doing. I'm just going to go on like I'm going. Until I got in that bus and I got up in Vandalia, Ohio, and it was just me and nobody else on the bus until that voice spoke behind me and said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you doing what you're doing?" And I realized I had missed the will of God. And by me missing the will of God, I was going to face certain destruction in just a little while. Amen. I want you to know right now, you might be a good man. You might be a good lady. You might be Elijah. You might have called fire down from heaven. You might have seen the cloud the size of a man's hand. But when you get out of the will of God, I said, when you get out of the will of God, friend, you're going to suffer over it. And not only you, but those that are around you. Are you listening to me just a little while? Amen. I don't mean to be long. I should have already quit. But I see a man that God really cares about. And he's in that cave. And he's feeling sorry for himself. Lord, why don't you just let me die? Why don't you just let me die, Lord? But wait a minute. Amen. Just because you're going through it doesn't give you no right to get out of the will of God. Just because that the enemy is assailing against you and you're fighting on every hand does not mean you can ignore the voice of God and do things your own way. You better stop what you're doing. You better come out of that cave and you better listen to God. You better wake up right where you're at because you're getting ready to miss him by a country mile. What are you here for? Why are you where you're at? You know, there's been times spiritually I've been there. I shouldn't have been there. I should have been shouting. I should have been running. I should have been jumping. I should have been leaping. The Lord gave me victory after victory. I shouldn't be going through trouble. I shouldn't be going through trial. I shouldn't be having the problems that I'm having. God's a moving for me. Why in the world am I doing in this place with my head bowed down? Why am I doing at this place where I've got no joy in my heart and no joy in my life? I want to ask somebody that's in this building tonight, amen, why are you doing where you are at spiritually? Why are you there? I want to ask you right now. I said, why are you there? Amen. Why is your head bowed low? Why do you not see that God's got something else for you? Amen. That he's going to lay his hand on you another time. Somebody needs to wake up in this building and realize, amen, that God has got his hand on you and you can't do things like you want to do. You got to walk in his ways, talk like he wants you to talk, go where he wants you to go, and be what he wants you to be. Why are you doing here? I've been very zealous. I've done everything you asked me to do, and now they're seeking my life. It was all in vain. What in the world did I even try for? Why should I even have messed with it? Look at me now. Look at where I'm at now. Why should I even bothered with it? Why should I even bother with it? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I want to tell somebody in this building tonight, your head might be brought low and you might not understand what God's doing in your life, but you better wait just a little while before you try things on your own, because as soon as you get your hands involved in what God needs to move in your life, you're going to mess it up. And when you mess it up, sometimes it takes years. I said sometimes it takes years, and sometimes it takes a lifetime to try to undo what you did. Hey man, are you listening to me? You better wake up. I said you better wake up tonight and realize you just don't jump out of the will of God. You just don't decide you're going to do things your own way. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm trying to stop somebody from doing something wrong. You got your head bowed low. Yes, you're a good person. I'm not doubting you're a good person. I'm not a doubt that you've touched God before. But right now, you're not where you're supposed to be. You're just not where you're supposed to be. And when you're not where you're supposed to be, you can end up losing terribly. Terribly. You're just not where you're supposed to be. Because you've tried it on your own, ain't you? You've tried it on your own to get to where you thought you needed to be. But every time you tried to get where you thought you needed to be, something else happened and your life went spiraling down again. And it's spiraling down again. And now I see the man of God, that great man of God, and he's in the cave. And that cave means darkness. And that cave means coldness. And that cave means dampness. Oh, it's just not a place for you to be, because there's just no happiness in that cave. The sun ain't shining in that cave. Amen. I said the sun ain't shining in that cave. Amen. You're just in that dark, dreary, damp place. And you ain't getting nothing from God. All you're doing is laying there worrying about what's going on in your life. But wait a minute. There's somebody trying to talk to you tonight. And they're trying to tell you, why are you doing where you're at? Why are you where you're at? It's time for you to wake up and realize I am not meant to live in the lowlands. I am not meant to dwell in caves. I do not have to be a casualty of the cave. I don't have to be tonight somebody that dwells there all of my Christian life, never having the joy of the Lord, never having the power of God, never having the peace of God. You don't have to be a casualty at the cave. Too many that I have watched. There's one boy. I won't call his name because this is going all over wherever. There's one boy. He'd come to our church and he would pray. Oh my. He would pray and he would get fired up, man. I mean, he'd get fired up and he'd go on long fasts and he'd go on, I mean, he'd pray hours a day and then it looked like he was ready to just take over the world, man. I mean, he is getting ready just to destroy everything in the devil's path. And all at once, Brother Brad, we'd watch him. He'd go from telling us what we need to be doing, and it's always that way. As soon as he prayed through, he was going to tell me how I needed to live, and I'd never went that way. He's going to tell me how I needed to live, going to tell me what I needed to do, going to tell me, and he wasn't going to tell me nothing. Amen. I'd already seen he had been in and out too many times. He wasn't going to tell me anything. He'd get all fired up. He'd get on the people. He'd get on the people trying to tell them what they need to do. If you'd pray more, we'd have more power than you ought to be. And he'd just line us all out. He'd just tell us all how to live. And then it'd be about 3 or 4 weeks and you'd see him. He wouldn't show up on church night. And then he wouldn't show up on another church night. And then he'd come back in. He might hit it again for 5 or 10 minutes, but everybody had already seen what he's getting ready to do again. And then he'd hit it for about 5 minutes, you know, and nobody'd back him. And he'd wonder why nobody was backing him. And then he'd lay out another week, and then he'd live for long. He was backslid as a goose. I mean, just as if a goose is backslid, I mean, I don't know. He might be like that dead possum. I have no idea. Amen. But I mean, he was just as backslid as can be. He would do that again and again and again and again and again. Amen. Yeah, it started out like gangbusters. Yeah, he started out just right. But wait a minute. Amen. I've seen a lot of good men go down at the mouth of the cave. Help me preach to you just a little while. I mean, you need to grasp hold of this tonight. You don't need to die at the mouth of the cave. You can be more than what you really even think you can be tonight. You can come out of this in just a little while. You come out of it. You don't have to die in the cave. Almost done. I felt like somebody tonight needed to hear me tell them. I need to tell somebody tonight. God's a speaking to you. And you need to listen to him. Because where you're at is not where you need to be. And what you're doing is not what he's wanting you to do. You need to listen to God. You need to listen to God. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Heads bowed, please. Eyes closed. Teresa, come. The casualty at the cave. But you know the great thing about that young man that I just talked about? You want to know the great thing about him? That young man right now has been in for years. He has done good for years. He finally come out of the cave. He finally come out of the cave. I just feel like tonight telling somebody, you don't have to go like you're going. Don't be depressed. Don't be burdened down. The Lord told Elijah, I've got something else I need you to do. And he's telling you right now, he's got something else he needs you to do. He's got something else he needs you to do. Maybe tonight you've walked away and you've just fell away from God and you just can't even hardly feel good about yourself anymore. Maybe you fell so far away from God that you're not even sure it's him when he's talking to you. You want to do right, but it always seems like something gets in your way. Tonight, don't be a casualty at the mouth of the cave. You don't have to be where you're at. You don't have to be where you're at. You can come out of it in just a little while. I'm talking to somebody right now that you're at that spiritual place where you just can't get out of it. You're on the bottom. You're on the bottom. God's telling you tonight, I'm going to lift you up. I'm a talking to somebody. I know I'm a talking to somebody. You're not going to be down any longer. You're coming out. So our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody's looking. I wonder if there'd just be a hand and say, preacher, I'm tired of being where I feel like I don't need to be. I know the hand of God's touched me before. And I want him to touch me again. Would there be a hand that'd slip up and say, preacher, I need to do better. God's talking to me. I need to do better. Come on. Be honest with yourself. Thank you. Come on. Would there be another hand? Would there be another hand that would go up and say, I want to be where God wants me. I'm tired of being where I'm at right now. I don't want to live in the lowlands. I don't want to live in a place of defeat. I don't want to live in a place where I have no victory or joy. I want to get back to where I need to be with God. Would you slip up your hand right now and say, I need God to help me right now. Would you slip your hand up? Come on. God's talking to you. I know He is. I know He is. Whether you acknowledge it tonight or not, God has spoke to you. Thank you for that hand. Would there be another hand in this building right now? Would there be another hand that would go up and say, Preacher, I need God to help me tonight. I'm not in the place that I need to be. Come on, come on. I'm almost through. God's speaking to you right now. You're not where you need to be, but He wants to put you to where you should be. Let's stand, please, all over the building. The Lord's trying to get your attention tonight. I wonder if you'd just come right now. I'm not gonna make you come by yourselves. I'm just gonna ask everybody that would. Let's come in tonight. Let's come in and find us a place to pray and tell God we want to be where He wants us. Come on. Come on. Lord, I want to be where You want me to be. Lord, I want to be where You want me to be. I'm out of place, God. I'm out of place, God. I'm out of place, God. I'm out of place, God.
It's got to work that only You
can
do.
I'm out of place, God.